Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Good morning, Christ is risen. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. A father was sitting. He was engrossed in his work while his daughter was constantly distracting him in an attempt to make him play with her. To keep her busy, he decided that he took a magazine, a sheet out from the magazine. He tore it up, and it was an image of the world map. And he said to his daughter, he said, "I want you to put together this map. I want you to put together the puzzle." So he left the little girl. He went back to his work, expecting he was going to have a couple of hours of reprieve. And within a few minutes later, this little girl came back with the puzzle perfectly put together and taped up. And he was in shock. And he said, "How in the world did you put together the map so quickly?" And he said, "Well," the little girl said, "on the other side of the magazine, on the other side of the map, was the picture of a woman's face. So I just looked at the picture of the woman's face and I knew where everything went. So I taped it up and put it together, and once I got the other side figured out, I was able to get the map. It all kind of fit together nicely." The other side of what we see oftentimes reveals to us the truth of what it is that we should see. There's always the other side to what we experience in this world. And sometimes if we can just look at the other side, then we'll see the reality of what it is that we should be looking at and how we'll be able to solve and deal with the challenges that face us. What Christ is speaking to us about this morning in the gospel is how it is that comfort is given for the troubled hearts when we focus on the kingdom of God. It doesn't tell us that the puzzle on the other side goes away, but he rather says if we focus on the right side, the correct side, the right angle, the right perspective, then comfort is given to our hearts. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He never promises that the troubles will go away. He simply tells the disciples to refocus, reorient where their eyes are given. And when they do so, comfort would be given to their troubled hearts, specifically when they focus on the kingdom of God. Our opinion of things may trouble us. Our opinion of the situations that we're in may cause difficulty or discomfort for our hearts. Whether it's not reaching our goals, if we focus on the goal rather than on the kingdom, that'll bring trouble to our hearts. If someone has criticized us, that will oftentimes deplete us, specifically if we let that be our focus instead of the kingdom of God and that which has been promised to us as disciples. If your career got messed up because of either something, some boneheaded thing that you had done, a mistake that you had made, or there was someone who wanted to harm you and do ill to you, once again, our opinion of those things can deeply trouble us. Could be financial trouble. It could be a lack of health or unhealthiness. Relationship problems. You did something to deeply embarrass yourself in a public gathering. You feel like your life has no purpose, or maybe it's just this whole coronavirus thing, and not knowing what's going to happen next. Maybe the gym has been closed for a few months and you're really upset and you feel like your life is completely troubled. And what Christ is telling us here is that if we focus on those things, whether it's the gym, we focus on our career, our health, and that becomes the main focus, then our hearts, of course, they'll be troubled. But what Jesus is promising us here, he's reminding us here, is that he himself is gone to prepare a place for us in his Father's house, and there's a mansion prepared for each and every one of us. And if we can focus on that, then comfort will be given to our hearts. It's living in the truth of the reality, the realness, that what we have here is temporary, and the mansion that's been prepared for us, the treasures, the life, the gifts in the kingdom, is that which endures. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 to 34, we read, "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings." What caused us, what causes a disciple to endure anything for the sake of Christ? Remember those days when you would do anything for the sake of Jesus. What was it? We're told here it was right after we were illuminated. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us. He reveals to us the reality of what it is that we're engaging in the world, what it is that we're interacting with, what it is that our life means with respect to this world that we live in. And so when we allow the Holy Spirit to truly illuminate us, enlighten us, open our eyes to see the world and our lives for what it is, we're told here in those former days, we'd be willing to endure a great struggle with sufferings. Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me. This is St. Paul speaking, saying that you endured so many things. Why? Because the Holy Spirit illuminates. He opens our eyes. He reminds us that this is temporary and that there's a great mansion that has been prepared in the Father's house for us. He continues on in verse 35. He says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry." He's telling us to endure in the confidence that we have. Endure in the confidence that you have. Endure in doing good. Endure in faithfulness. To endure means to continue to fight when you want to give up. It means that sometimes there are things that make us, like, we're exhausted. There are people that are, like, complaining of fatigue from what's going on in the world right now. They're just saying, like, I can't continue to endure. I can't continue to endure this. And what we're being told here is endure with the promise in mind and endure in doing good. Endure with the promise in mind and endure in doing good. I want to conclude with the passage that we read in the Catholic Epistle, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. He tells us that, St. Peter says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers." How will we endure? By having a sobriety, a seriousness, a watchfulness in our prayer. When we feel depleted, sometimes we just want to get distracted. And what we're being told here is when we feel depleted, what we need to do is be filled through prayer. Endure and be serious and watchful in prayer. And then he continues and says, and as a result, do good. Above all things, he says, have fervent love for one another. How we do good is that we extend love to each other fervently. For love will cover a multitude of sins. He says, secondly, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Folks, there is a lot of people who are feeling emotionally and physically, but I would say the numbers of the emotional and spiritual sickness is far surpassing those who are physically ill right now, perhaps. And if we're to be hospitable, what we're acknowledging is that there is a sickness around us and that we are to be a healing presence. That just as the church is a hospital, that we should, through our own hospitality to one another, that we can offer the healing presence of Jesus Christ to each other. One of the things that I'm so encouraged that I know people have started doing is receiving or visiting each other and just doing like outdoor front door picnics on their lawn, or spending time and, you know, in their personal small gatherings and just extending themselves to one another while also being mindful of some of the, you know, the guidelines that are out there, whether it's the social distancing or all the other things that we've been hearing so much about. We're told, do so without grumbling, without complaining. Yeah, life right now, guys, and this is for the adults and for the kids, life is tough. Life is different right now, right? Life is different. And the only way, if he tells us to do it without complaining, the only way to do so without complaining is to have a perspective of something else, something more, something greater. And that greater thing, that more thing, is in fact the kingdom, the house, the mansion that's been prepared for us, right? Even when life gets a little bit tough, we keep perspective of the kingdom. And then he continues on, he says, as each one of you has received a gift, minister it to one another. Minister it to one another. Speak as the oracles of God, and if anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. So we should serve one another. We should minister to each other. We should do so with the oracles of God, with the word of God, the teaching of Scripture. And we should do so with the ability that God supplies us. So we're not just using God, like just raw talents or things that we have done on our own, but no, rather it's by the work of the Holy Spirit who not only illuminates us, but he equips us to serve one another, to minister to each other. And once again, that's from the youngest amongst us to the oldest amongst us. We all have the ability to minister, to serve one another. That in all things, he says, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To me, the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. When we do this, when we endure, when we keep our eyes focused, when we serve one another, when we endure in doing good, the name of God becomes glorified. That's the work of the church. And the only way we can do so is to remember the promise of what God has told us. In times when we feel our hearts are troubled, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. It's easy to say. But the only way to really do so is to keep perspective. Remember, there is always the other side to whatever you experience in this world. Whenever we come across a challenge or a puzzling situation, look at the other side. Look at it from the other angle. Look at it from God's perspective. Look at it through the lens of the kingdom of God. You'll be surprised at the comfort you'll experience in the midst of the difficult situation you're facing when you do so. As we pray, I want to encourage you to bring your challenges, the frustrations that you're facing before Christ, and lift them up before the kingdom of God and see them in light of the mansion that Christ has prepared for you in his Father's house. All glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.